We are reading from the book Shamati, page Yud Gimel 13. The article is article number 6. What is support in the Torah in the work? When one studies Torah and wants all his actions to be in order to bestow, one needs to try to always have support in the Torah. Support is considered nourishment, which is love, fear, elation, and freshness, and so on. And one should extract all that from the Torah. In other words, the Torah should give one these upshots. However, when one studies Torah and does not have these upshots, it is not defined as Torah. This is because Torah refers to the light clothed in the Torah, meaning, as our sages said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah, the spice. This refers to the light in it, since the light in the Torah reforms him. We're talking about a person who received an awakening, which we call a point in the heart, meaning through the breaking that is in a person because of the broken vessels and corresponding to the broken vessels. We know that in the breaking of the vessels, the broken clay was divided into lights, orot nitzitzim and kelim, light sparks in vessels. The light rose up to sag, and the nitzitzim, the sparks in the kelim, the vessels fell down to the klipot. They lost the screen. And there's a will to receive, and the intention for self, or to receive. And within it, there is a spark. In corresponding to that spark, there is a light above. That spark is a part of the returning light that he had before, of the intention to bestow. And through this spark, he identifies that there is something beyond his will to receive in order to receive, when he feels only phenomena called this world. And this is how a person is awakened. When he is awakened, he is brought to means through which he can obtain not this distant light, which he doesn't feel and doesn't understand what awakens him, but so he discovers all of his kelim and these lights. How? He makes an effort. His effort, if it is aimed correctly, increases the light from above, and this light influences the spark within a person in such a way that this spark begins to work and determine the direction, the use, the way he uses his desires. And this is called the light in it reforms him. Of course, there are many details here. And a person is confused. Our whole way is in concealment. And we should understand that there is no other way, because concealment goes against our desire, otherwise it will be worse. Their concealment is a correction. Otherwise, our desire will be locked on the pleasure and won't be able to work in any other direction. Meaning to obtain the intention to bestow. This is why the study of Torah, it is said that we learn Torah in the dark to obtain the strength, the support in the Torah. And we don't know how we study, if we're studying correctly or incorrectly, if we are on the right way or not, if we're studying Torah or just knowledge. But Bala Sulam says that the test can be that the results from what we are learning are like food for a person who is given awakening, elation, joy, importance, the sensation of importance of what he does. Of course, in that too, there are ups and downs, otherwise you won't be able to measure what he has. Because everything we measure, we feel, is only from a thing and its opposite. But all in all, a person must come to feel that he has awakening importance of what he does. And if he doesn't have it, then perhaps he's working in the wrong way, and he should examine what exactly he is doing. Perhaps it's not Torah. Perhaps he wants to obtain all kinds of knowledge. Perhaps it's neither Torah nor knowledge, but he's just working on something external and he wants to adduce from these books, not even Torah, the internal correction over his desires, or knowledge, just to know how many angels are in the sky, but wants through it to control, to gain, to get something that belongs to his will to receive. So in that case, he puts himself in even greater darkness, like a bat in the rooster. And of course, he won't have these signs of joy and being elated. At least that is the sign that he should criticize and calculate more correctly of what he's doing with what the Creator has given him a chance to engage in, meaning the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is why the question is very important to us, those who are still in concealment, how to examine ourselves if we are on the right way, in the right evolution, and we're not getting sidetracked, deluding ourselves that soon something will come, but in the meantime, we're falling into greater and greater falsehood. That is why the article talks about finding signs, how to find, how to identify the signs, which are like milestones by which it is possible to measure how we are progressing. If we are progressing, are we in the right direction or not? Yes. We should also know that the Torah is divided into two discernments. One, Torah, two, mitzvah. Meaning, if a person is progressing correctly and receives the light that reforms him, meaning a force that changes him, a force from a higher degree which pulls him, which arranges him and adapts him to a higher degree, if that force operates on him and a person changes, then these changes in a person should appear in two ways, called Torah and Mitzvah, which are basically a result of this light which influences a person who engages in Kabbalah correctly. In fact, it is impossible to understand these two discernments before one is awarded walking in the path of God by way of the counsel of the Lord is with him that fear him. Meaning, as usual, we who are still in the preparation period for spirituality in double and single concealment don't know where we are don't understand if we are even in the right direction. And what we do receive, the results from the light that reforms, these results we can't even identify correctly. It's called concealment in all of its facets in general, but somehow there is still the problem that we have to locate, define our situation and the direction and the progress and perhaps the pace of the progress. So he says that there's Torah and there's mitzvah, and you can't understand them before you enter disclosure. But somehow, to measure, to see, to identify them, to some extent, it is possible. This is so because when one is in a state of preparation to enter the Lord's palace, it is impossible to understand the path of truth. It is very weakening, and it's a warning sign that you can't understand the true path. So how do you progress? How do you even every step of the way, every act, every result, every desire, every thought? There is nothing we can quite discern correctly. So what do we do? Just whatsoever thy hand attaineth to do, why dost think that too? How many people engage in useless things? So how do we sanctify times? How do we aim our efforts? And the results from it, if we can't understand the true path. So the signs are there. But when he says that we can't understand the ways of God, meaning it is not for a human mind to create the cause and consequence to understand it. It is not for human mind to understand, to criticize what the Kabbalists, the sages, recommend or demand of a person with respect to the laws, that spirituality gradually comes to a person. And it's not that it comes in an opposite way of him, because these are two discernments that seemingly contradict each other. But when this contradiction is also unidentified as such, as a contradiction, it is called that we can't understand the true path, that we have no pattern by which we can measure and test and criticize and say directly or indirectly that we have results that are closer to spirituality, that we are progressing. This is basically the concealment. But we can give an example that even a person in the preparation period may somewhat understand. It is, as our sages said, Rabbi Yosef said, a mitzvah defends and saves while practiced. Torah defends and saves both when practiced and when not practiced. Meaning, these are two things, Torah and Mitzvah. Torah defends and saves a person always. A Mitzvah saves a person and defends him only when he performs this act called Mitzvah. What does that give us in understanding the way or in knowing if we are progressing or not in the direction, in the pace, or etc.? We still don't. This is still unclear, because he gave us signs for the right progress, which are elation and joy, right? Awakening, confidence. So perhaps Torah and Mitzvah are two discernments that a person, by which a person knows if he's progressing or not, if he's in it or not in it. Yes. The thing is that when practiced refers to when one has some light. One can use it with the light that he has obtained. He had obtained only while the light is still with him, as now he is in gladness since the light shines for him. So it means that there is a situation where a person performs a certain act, spiritual act. What is a mitzvah? A mitzvah is a correction of a desire. It's unpleasant. A person is experiencing a change and comes closer to spirituality and feels that this act that he is experiencing is a painful one to his desire. And on the other hand, he knows that it is an act of progress. It feels unpleasant, but with his intellect, with his mind, he understands that he is progressing. And when he is in a state where he identifies what he is experiencing, it gives him joy. This is called being in a state of mitzvah. This is called mitzvah, meaning he has not acquired Torah yet, but elicits a life of kedusha, sanctity, from the light. On the other hand, with the Torah, when one attains some way in the work, one can use the way that one attained even when not practicing it. This means that even while one does not have the light, it is because only the luminescence has departed from him, whereas one can use the way that one has attained in the work even when the luminescence leaves him. What does it mean that the illumination left and the person still feels that he's on the way? He's got a different illumination. It's impossible that the will to receive sustains itself. Either the light stays in the will to receive or and gives him some right sensation, sustains him from within. There is no such thing. Everything is sustained through the light from above, great or small, a light called mitzvah, a light called Torah, the light that reforms him, the light that appears in his present, past, future, etc. Everything comes through kinds of light which shine for the will to receive. So there is a light that shines to the will to receive called mitzvah, and a light that shines to the will to receive called Torah. When it's called a mitzvah, the light shines only during the act. And the Torah is a light that shines in general. In the situations in general, when a person has already come to a state where he has an attitude to corrections, to spirituality, to progress, because he experienced changes inside, where these lights that operated on him shine for him while he is in correction and while he is not correcting, but in situations that are like preparatory for the next mitzvah. So between each two mitzvot, when there is a time of preparation, that time might be very difficult. He still has some luminescence called Torah. And then we measure these states and say that, yes, a person has support. He's already obtained some support from above, which doesn't leave him and always makes him be aimed correctly, as a will to receive corresponding to the light. The light sustains him, directs him, pulls him, gives him a ray of light for the future along the way, and it doesn't matter whatever situation he's in, he is directed and progresses. So of course the light of mitzvah is important, because he's acting, he's progressing, he's in contact with the light. But the light of Torah is a general light that sustains him, and it's also important. meaning it depends on the situation, on the strength of progress that a person is in. So for him, that's the difference between what's important to him, the light of Torah or the light of mitzvah. Still, one must know that while practiced, a mitzvah is greater than Torah when not practiced. Why? Because mitzvah means that he acquires a new degree now, that he corrects a layer of his desire, his avut in his desire, which now appears as darkness, opposite the giving. He asks for corrections, and these corrections, when he experiences them in his will to receive, and when he acquires over this will to receive the right intention, the masach, the screen, this is called acquiring a new degree. And the light that he attains is an inner light, which clothes in him according to equivalence a form of the new corrected desires with the general correction, which is the Creator. This is why the light that he receives through the mitzvah is a great light. It's an inner light, which appears in the degree. Whereas the Torah is a light that shines to him from afar and sustains him along the way in general. So, of course, the light of mitzvah is more powerful than the light of Torah. When practiced means that now one receives the light. This is called practiced, when one receives the light in it. Hence, while one has the light, a mitzvah is more important than the Torah when one has no light, meaning when there is no livelihood in the Torah. On the one hand, the Torah is important because one can use the way one has acquired in the Torah. On the other hand, it is without livelihood, called light. Whereas in a time of mitzvah, one receives livelihood, called light. In this respect, a mitzvah is more important. Thus, when one is without sustenance, one is called, considered evil. This is because now one cannot say that he believes that the Creator leads his providence with others benevolently, since we understand the path of Torah as a sensation in the organs. If one does not feel delight and pleasure, one, what does it give him that another has delight and pleasure? Because he doesn't have the light of Torah and the light of mitzvah, and then it seems that there is no light from above. So there is no providence, there is no benevolent, and there is no upper force, but according to the number of desires that appear in him, he accordingly says that these are the forces in the world, because a person pictures his environment, his reality, his world within himself, from within his own desires. And because his desires are not oriented, directed through some light of mitzvah or Torah in a special direction, it seems to him that what appears in each desire seems to him that there are many forces in the world that are in all kinds of conflict, that are conflicting with one another and separated. But when the light shines and a person's desires become oriented at that light, of course it brings him to a sensation, to a decision, that there is one force only which determines, which monitors the world, meaning all of his desires. It all depends on what a person feels in all of his desires. If there is any influence on them from the single source or not. And because the light, this light leaves or comes closer, draws farther, shows all kinds of changes to a person, by which it's called that the light shake the kelim, and that builds new kelim, new discernments in the person. So it turns out that, of course, there are states in which their light is completely absent, and then a person thinks that everything is in the hands of evil forces. Meaning, he determines it from within his own desires. He's not aware of it, but that's how it happens. What? I wanted to ask how, while a person, he said that he discovers another layer of will to receive, how does he know that now he's working toward correction and didn't stay in some klipa, apparent klipa or something? We are unconscious of the state we're in. In other words, we are in some state, but we don't know, we can't determine what that state is. As Bala Sulam says, we have a certain like a photographic machine in the back of our minds where we see results of all kinds of internal actions in me, but it seems to me that they are outside of me. That I see you, the world, that everything is like ahead of me, outside of me, when actually these are all kinds of fluids, changes, events, evolvements only within me, but I feel that they are outside of me. It's an illusion. What can I do? And before a person sees that this is really so from the outside, when he watches it from the side, that this is what happens to him, before that he cannot agree with it. And perhaps, maybe intellectually he can agree with it or perceive it, but the mind, the heart operates, not the mind. So once again we're going back to the false perception of reality, which we call the natural one. This is why when the will to receive experiences all kinds of changes, it doesn't see that those changes are in it, but it thinks it's in the outside world. Now, within my will to receive, another slice of view has been opened. Egoistic. A new one. Through the light. I don't feel that it's through the light. I don't feel the light. I don't feel that this light opens up a new slice of will to receive, of the sum total endless will to receive in me. I don't see anything. I just feel not the will to receive that opened. I feel correspondingly I feel darkness in it. And I don't even feel that darkness in it. I feel that it's seemingly outside of me, in the world around me. Why? Because my will to receive, what I feel in it, is called my world. So then I feel that the world is dark. And that's the it's a picture that a person can't come out of until the concealment is removed. And this is the primary concealment, the concealment of the perception of reality, of the right attitude to the will to receive, to put it shortly, because all of reality is in it. And it's not going to help us until we find the real picture. Because this picture controls us. A little more and a little more, the will to receive changes and opens, a little more, a little less. It seems to me that all these changes are external, outside of me, not within me. And I ascribe everything to the world and not to my desires and to the Creator, to the light, which influences me. What can I do? More questions?
Okay.
Yes. What does it mean? Elation and importance instead of concernment. What is it, the strength to continue, or is it some mood or what? First of all, there are states along the way, even during the concealment, in which a person feels importance, elation, a good result, even a sensation. Is it really good, this result, or not? When he feels joy, is it joy from progressing or just because he's happy? How do you identify? How do you not lie to yourself? And vice versa. Perhaps he's in a progressed state but feels it as a bad one, and then he curses it. And he can't help it. He's like a child who's forced to do something, and he does it. He does something that's good for him, but at the same time he cries and beats up his mother. You know these things, right? You know these things. You can't help it. So how do we, while behaving this way, still criticize ourselves, look at ourselves from the side, objectively, so to speak, and discern anything? It's a problem. There's the force of society here, and another light that reforms here, and that too. There are many illuminations, but the truth is that just as we see from our own lives, time passes, a person grows and understands. And what we do along the way with the child, the boy, as much as we try to explain to him, as much as we tend to him, it's all in order to come to a point where he grows up and understands, because in the end, in a smallness, and all the more so in a state of concealment, it is impossible to understand. There are no kilim. And Bala Salam explains to us in a different place that it is precisely these states that are states of free choice, where if a person, instead of getting up and cursing and demanding, looks, and it can't awaken in him by itself. It happens only through the right influence of the society, if it is incorporated in it, integrated in it. Only through other cells in the body of Adam HaRishon can some support come to him. So if he tries to work as hard as he can against pride through incorporation with others, to be influenced by them somehow, then perhaps instead of constantly being awakened to criticize with his seemingly healthy mind to determine what happens to him, he still, through the influence of society, understands that he is in a process of evolution, and that once there will be a situation where he will understand and agree. But for the time being, he is wicked and not righteous, meaning he condemns and doesn't justify. So we read all kinds of articles and understand it for the time being, the minute we experience it intellectually. But afterwards, the emotions control us once more. And so only social acts which arrange this surrounding illumination around a person, where these sensations give him these illuminations give him a sensation that he's not alone in the process, that the process is conclusive, comprehensive, that this illumination gives him a sensation that he is not corrected, because with respect to this illumination, when he feels himself, because he feels uncorrected, he will understand why he is now about to determine and work with his mind. So he immediately identifies that if you find faults, you find it in your own faults. What we primarily want is disclosure. We're unsatisfied by the concealment, by the confusion. And there's nothing you can do here. Yes. One cannot say that he believes that the Creator leads his providence with others benevolently, since we understand the path of Torah as a sensation in the organs. If one does not feel the delight and pleasure, what does it give him that another has delight and pleasure? If one had really believed that providence is revealed as benevolence to his friend, that belief would have brought one delight and pleasure from believing that the Creator leads the world in a guidance of delight and pleasure. If it does not bring one livelihood and joy, what is the benefit in telling one's friend that the Creator does watch over him in the guidance of benevolence? In other words, a person has to be connected to his friend in such a way that they're like one body, that the good for his friend, he feels it as if it's good for himself. So if he connects this way to the system of souls, then there's no such thing as someone getting something good without my feeling it. And then, of course, I will justify the Creator. And I will understand why I now feel not good. Where by the new desires that appear in me now, the dark ones, it is actually a sign of progress. For the time being, I'm seeing the backside and the place of choice, the place of effort, that the effort is specifically where I feel darkness and lack of life and bad feelings and confusions, and it's all complicated and tasteless, and I prefer to die than to live. And these places, these states and moments are states of free choice. For these states specifically, reality was created. The restrictions, the worlds, the breakings were only prepared so this bad state would appear in a person, in his sensations, and he'll be able to try to bring himself to determine the right attitude to this state intellectually through the support of the society, the teacher, the books. That's the real realization of choice. And if he doesn't do it, but dives into criticism and condemns everything that happens to him and curses, and he's shown all kinds of incidents on his friends, on his teachers, on the way and everything, that it's all incorrect and unjust, because he who falls in his own flaw. If his desire is unsatisfied, of course, it's all wrong. Something is wrong here. So it turns out that he denies it. He becomes a heretic until he leaves, because he can't agree with the conditions that the Creator designs for him. Is none else beside him. Of course, the Creator set up his phases of progress, and he, with his mind, doesn't understand that he has to agree with it above reason. And precisely, and justify above reason, not in his sensation, and accept these phases as what is probably the best for him, because the Creator does it through benevolence. He doesn't change, and the Creator suffers even more when a person suffers, but it's impossible to prevent these states, because they build new kelim for new discernments to develop a person. It is impossible to develop a person unless by giving him deficiencies, where he experiences all the deficiencies. As he writes that while a person suffers, what does divinity say? So we should, in society, this is the whole support that if we receive from society, it'll help us. We therefore have to cultivate, nurture the general force, the defending force from the healthy body. So even if a single cell is imbalanced, the body gives it the right discernment immediately that it is imbalanced, that it is not okay and should rebalance itself. How does it see that it's balanced or not? Compares itself to the body. It should see everyone as complete righteous as being at the end of correction. And if it tries to connect to them in this way, then it brings itself back to the right functionality. It cures itself. This work will never get any easier. It'll never... The purpose of creation, its goal, will never be cancelled or changed. I, the Lord, do not change. You cannot change creation at all, because everything comes from this first Havaya, to bring Bchinat Dalet back to Bchinat Shorish. And this is why there is only reception of the domination of this force, of this purpose, above the our own intellect, our own negligent minuscule emotions. And society can support us in that. That is why those who are a little closer to the work in society, who subjugate themselves, subdue themselves, they somehow hang on. And those who can't, leave. It's either society or death. It's a known thing. Okay. Yes. So in the present state, the preparation period, one's ability to perceive the force of faith to change is the Rav in the groups, and the group in the books is the expression of that force. It's not the expression. These are the means themselves. There are no other means. You don't have contact with the Creator. And to reach contact with Him, you have to... You need discernments, you need measurements, you need support. All of these things, where do you find them? So you are told that you are a part of the system. And that system is around you. Start positioning yourself correctly toward it or with respect to it. But who are they? They're worse than me. You're told it's concealment. They're not worse than you. Around you, there is the system of Adam HaRishon. The fact that you see them as beginners, as not understanding, as bad, as evil, it's a concealment that you are experiencing. Did you read Don Quixote? No. All right, what can you do? I can't even give you mundane examples. It seems to you that the world is corrupted around you because of who you are. He thought that the world was filled with palaces and whatnot. It was all his imagination. He was mentally ill. So that's the way it is. So here in the group, you are allowed to work with your concealment on others. The more you see others as corrupted, I, as my own psychologist, should understand that I am not seeing them corrupted, but because I am corrupted, I see them this way. People come to me to be treated and say, I know that it's not a voice that really exists out there and tells me something, but it constantly tells me something. I look at a person, and this voice tells me something about him. I look another place, it's as if a person projects something, a message or so to me. So there's like this dualism in a person. This is schizophrenia, the inner split, where on the one hand he sees the right picture according to his senses, and on the other hand he sees it distorted. In these two pictures in him, he lives with them. And then he brings me a story and tells me, I don't know what to do, I'm entangled between these two perceptions. And then you detach one perception, the sick one, according to our egoistic senses, and with the seemingly healthy perception, the egoistic one, he remains. But we have to rise to an even higher level of health and see ourselves as schizophrenic again. That what we identify is incorrect, that the actual picture should be opposite. That it's all in me, in my perception of the world. One who faults in his own drawback, and the world itself is Ein Sof. It's a collected Kli. Everyone's righteous, etc. So if a person begins to relate to himself like that schizophrenic person and understands that he needs a doctor, he gradually is cured. In his soul. But this is only through determining the right position, basic position, that I am sick, that I see everything according to my sick properties. I don't know, you have to listen to them. Maybe I'll videotape them. I don't know if you didn't see these things. It's hard for you to hear examples. More? Yes. You said I'm corrupted. And that's why I see them this way, right? And that's why I need a doctor. Now I prepare myself during the day to come to the doctor. What should I tell the doctor? Give me a cure. Give me some. I feel that I'm sick. I want you to take away the sickness. Even if you don't feel that you're sick, you go to the doctor to be examined. Especially old men. Old people. These clinics are always filled with old people. Every twice a week they go to the doctor to see that they're healthy. Because maybe I'm sick, right? It's called an old man who acquired wisdom, because he's certain that something's wrong with him. Yes. So what should be my attitude to the criticism that I feel? The fact that I have criticism for everyone, and I'm dissatisfied with everything, and I either blame the teacher or the group or the books or the world, the Creator is hidden, so I can't come and shake him up, you know, what's happening to me. So I need, while feeling what I feel, to say that whatever I'm feeling is true. And the fact that I feel it is natural, normal, it is right for my state. Like a child, it is normal for it to do what it does at its age. But I have to know that this is happening to me because I'm still in an uncorrected state where all my sensations and decisions are through my internality, are because of my internal state. When my desires change, intentions, I will see everything differently. Now, how do I change it? From this point onward begins the right search. But before you determine that all who find faults find it in their own faults, that everything you see is from within your own corrupted kelim, desires, before that there's no one to talk to, you just judging like Pharaoh, like an egoist. And fine, well, you're right. If you find flaw, you find it in your own flaw. You can only say the judge has only what his eyes see. I see it this way, I feel it this way, that's it. So you're not aware that you are in concealment. And if you're not aware of it, then if you don't touch that point, then you have nothing to correct. There's nowhere to progress. So if you're somehow connected to the society, if you're with it, if you study with it, if you feel that you're with them, you subjugate yourself to them, you don't separate yourself from them, in all kinds of events, all kinds of things. You might be seemingly with them, but actually feel above them. So then you can't feel support from them, and powers that will help you identify yourself and the concealment you're in. We don't have any other means. Only we can only receive, how should I put it, we can only determine the right situation to a society if he positions himself correctly. Otherwise, he disrespects society. They don't know, they don't understand, they're weak. That's why they agree to the situation. I disagree. It's as if he justifies himself even more in his ego. Until he either experiences blows and begins to straighten out, Or he leaves.
Ad Gilgul Haba.
Until the next life, so.
Tof,
okay, we have to switch. More questions? Yes. What is above reason in the preparation period? Above reason in the preparation period is, as we just said, it's when I know that I am in a false state, where my desires picture the picture of my world, and in my mind and heart create whatever they create. And above my reason, meaning I take the reason of a higher degree than the present one in my mind and heart, what would I determine in a higher degree? I would determine that the world is good, that there is a benevolent one who operates on me and everything, and he does and prepares and fills everything within me, etc., etc. So, if in the present state I begin to behave as if I'm in a higher degree, clearly knowing where I am right now, I don't leave it and start floating about, yes, in all kinds of imaginations. But I'm in both states, and I want the present world to rise to a higher state. By that, that puts me in a state of prayer. I ask of the Creator by doing that for strength to correct the present darkness, the present corruptions, to become what I picture as corrected, so I can justify Him, so I see that everything's corrected, and when I'm in it, it's considered that I corrected my desires. I don't exit my own desires. So that turns out that the prayer for correction, for justification, for justifying, for ascending to the higher reason is all the same. Other than the corrupted kli and the light that influences it, there's nothing. Yes. It seems that no state prepares a person for the next state. Us is never. So what is this Torah, the light? What's left of it in the end? It's an illumination from the general system of souls, which operates on a single cell or organ that is corrupted. And then it feels that it is ill compared to them. Otherwise, it can't feel it. I go into a society of criminals. I'm a criminal, but I feel myself righteous. If I walk into a more progressed or progressive society, I feel, compared to them, as ill or as a criminal. That's why the general illumination is what sustains a person while the present state shines for him, which he is in his strength for justifying and correction. Most of our states are not mitzvah, are seemingly a preparation for mitzvah. In this preparation, there's a negative and positive process. 7 years of famine, 7 years of wealth, in every degree you have it. 6 days of the week and Shabbat, doesn't matter how you divide it. So in all those days, in all those states of darkness, a person should receive the support of the Torah. The mitzvah is only the preparation. Once you learned much Torah, received a lot of light, then this light reforms you, gives you the strength to correct the layer of ego that appeared. When you corrected it, another layer of ego appears in your will to receive, in your corrupted will to receive, and once more you have to start drawing illuminations on yourself. And with the preparation that you've made, it's called that you acquire the path of Torah. So then you begin to feel immediately almost like Rabbi Shimon from the market, even though you fell and you lost everything. On the other hand, you immediately feel that it comes as a state that is toward ascension. That's the sensation of the Torah, even though you are in the worst possible state. So the Torah has an accumulative effect. In the greatest fall, you feel it? Yes, of course. This is called correcting your kelim. When I correct my kelim, by that I correct my attitude to the other souls. It's the same. It's, they work reciprocally. My connection with other souls operates only on condition that I correct something within, and then I have the sensation of the system, of the illumination of everything. We have a problem that we forget about this point, and first of all, we criticize. It is forbidden to criticize before you have a hold of the right line. If you are certain that you held on to the right line for 23 and a half hours, that you have a good hold of it, then go and criticize the constitution, the books, the teacher, everything, the group. But only once you're certain you're doing it from the right point. Otherwise, it's only bad. You lower yourself when you start to justify yourself in darkness, and no benefit will come out of that because you're not holding the right. Corresponding to the left, and holding on to the right is so much against our nature that we have to hold on to the right for 23 and a half hours a day, because it's only so we can balance them. What does it mean to ask for correction for society? He who prays for his friend is awarded first. He's saying this: if I have to think of others that they're all righteous and corrected, then how at the same time can I turn to the Creator on their behalf? To ask for correction for society is to ask for correction that will go through me, so I will determine the society, or what the society is, correctly. He who prays for his friend is awarded first means that when I see my friend as corrupted or suffering, I see him as suffering or corrupted. But look, he's crying in front of you. I see him in my senses. He's crying in front of me. If I correct my senses, I will not see him as crying in front of me. But he's crying. He's suffering. He's poor. Maybe he's dying. I determine it. I read it so in my senses. These are... that's not the way you want to end the lesson. It only confuses, but what can you do? We don't understand to what extent our perception is only in our desires. We can't see it as yet. Talmud is a sefirot.